have a Bible, that would be really great to follow, because I haven't got it on the screen today. But so you can listen. I'll read it carefully, and we'll read it together, hopefully, and you'll be able to dip into the story. So we're in Luke. Let's just read from Luke chapter 18 first, and then we're going to read the story together, and we'll just break it up. And if you don't want to follow me, then there's some pictures will appear on the screen of this very story we're going to look into today. Okay, so this is Luke chapter 18, and it says this, verse 31. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, "Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man," that's another name for Jesus, "will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him, but on the third day he will rise again." Now that sounds pretty clear, doesn't it, to you and me, just reading that? That sounds like Jesus is telling them exactly what's going to happen. But then we get this. "But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about." It's a bit strange, that, isn't it, don't you think? A bit odd, because it sounds really clear to us that he's going to die, and he's telling them ahead of time, but they didn't get it. So, let's dip into chapter 24 then. This is our story for this morning. And I thought we'd tell a story, because then we can apply the story to our lives. And that's what we're going to do today. So, chapter 24, Jesus has come back to life. And Mary's been at the tomb, and she's told Peter and John, and they've run to the tomb, and they've had a look inside, and sure enough, there's nobody. But only Mary has seen Jesus up to now. And then let's come to this bit here. So, verse 13, is it? Yeah, 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened, which must have been quite an intense conversation, because Jesus has died 3 days before, and that day some strange reports had come to them about what had happened to Jesus, that the cave they put him in was open and empty. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Now, these artists here, they've got some different pictures. This is how different artists have imagined that scene that day. And Jesus is walking with them. I'll leave that one on there because that intrigues me. Can you see why that might intrigue me? Because this is what it says. Jesus himself, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Now, I don't understand quite. I think I've got an idea, which I'll share with you. But why God would stop us from knowing things? Why it was hidden from them that Jesus was going to die and come back to life? Why that was so hard? And why they had to be kept almost in the dark? He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there these last few days." In other words, "Hey, who are you? Where have you been? I mean, I can't believe it. What do you mean?" They stopped in their tracks to ask him, "What do you mean?" Can't believe it. Where have you been? You must be the only person not to know what's going on. What things, Jesus asked? The things that happened to Jesus. The man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who would come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Did you notice that? They said to Jesus, he's died, he was taken. We'd hoped it was him. He was going to rescue Israel. And now he's gone. They crucified him. And even though they'd heard some interesting reports about Jesus coming alive, they were walking away from the action. They were walking home, and they were left their hearts and their hopes back in Jerusalem. They'd literally given up. They were hopeless. Nothing had stopped them. Not even the reports had prevented them from walking away. Now listen to Jesus' reply. He said to them, "You foolish people." Sounds a bit harsh to me. But it's Jesus. "You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beautiful. Now, it's 7 miles, right? How long do you think it might have taken them to walk 7 miles? A couple of hours? Yeah? Yeah. A couple of hours. If you walk 3 miles an hour, that's pretty good pace. That's just normal pace, I think. 3 miles an hour. So that would have taken them just maybe a couple of hours, maybe more. And they'd had this Bible study all the way. That's what it was. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on. Here he is again. First of all, he hides things from them, and then he pretends he's carrying on his journey. He's making out as though he wants to carry on walking. But they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. What happened next? At that moment, he disappeared. Whoa. Wow. Doesn't it make your spine tingle almost? The fact you're sitting at a table with a guest, and then all of a sudden, the chair's empty. Wow. They said to each other, "Didn't our heart burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Wow. Maybe that's why they couldn't recognize him. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Now, 7 miles. Well, I suppose a couple of hours. Still a fair walk, isn't it? But, hey, they're not even thinking about the distance. They're on the way back again. Another 7 miles back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Oh, somebody else has seen him. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you so frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Wow. Now, that is quite a story, isn't it? And we've got some things to think about in that story, which we're going to do. But we need to sing again, because we can't keep going very long without singing this morning. Because we really do have something to sing about. So we're going to sing a couple of songs together, which we absolutely love. And these songs just tell us so much more, unpack the fact that today, if you're a visitor today, by the way, and you're not used to church, maybe you've just popped in today because it's Easter and you're here. Maybe somebody dragged you along. I don't know. But you're here today anyway. We want you to know something really important. That this story, the story of Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life again, is a story that involves you. You may not have realized it, but actually God had you in mind when he sent Jesus into our world. And out of incredible love for all of us, you included, Jesus died on a cross to pay for the wrongdoing, the things you should have done that you haven't done. For all our sinfulness, Jesus paid for it so that we could live in freedom and joy, and we could have the gift of eternal life freely given, without charge, without price. That is why this story matters. It's amazing the grace that God gives to us, the kindness that he shows us and says, "Here you are, it's a free gift. I've paid." And Jesus did that. He paid. He paid with his own life on the cross. Such love, such incredible love and kindness. It was you that he had in mind when he did that. It was you. We hope that as you sing these songs with us and join in today, that you too will be able to apply this wonderful truth to your own heart and say, "Thank you, God. I feel loved today. I feel like you did this for me. That's amazing." And that you'll respond with praise too. Let's stand and sing together. But we have some special guests. We're going to spend a moment just introducing them to you as a church and just finding more about what they're doing. Thank you.
Well, Gordon was talking about making the good news of Christ's death and resurrection known. There are people around the world who sometimes don't hear that, and there are people in this country who take up the challenge of going to a different place, a different country, to communicate that message. So today we are really pleased to have Dave and Michelle with us. Actually, it's Phoebe and Ruth and Jonathan that came. They just brought their mum and dad with them. So we're going to just say hello to them.
Yeah.
Are you okay to come up here, guys? Is that all right?
All right,
yeah. Well done. Yeah. And you've got another friend with you. Who are you? You're going to join their family? Yeah? So, I don't know if Michelle's going to say or whether Dave's going to say.
You say.
You're going to do. Do you want to, Ruth, should we move that? We'll let Daddy. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Fantastic. There you go. There you go.
Roving microphone.
Yeah. So, you just, I mean, these guys at the moment are in training, so maybe tell us where you are, and then tell us where you're going.
We are currently at the International Mission Centre in Birmingham, Selly Oak, for any of you who know Birmingham, Brummies. Yes, we've been there since September last year, and we were former ministers at Broccoli Baptist Church. We're there training. We actually finished our training. We've got our certificates now. Yeah, completely finished.
Yay!
Amen.
So maybe you just want to tell us, why would you leave beautiful broccoli and go all the way to Peru? What's that about? What are you going to do?
We feel called to mission overseas. So we're going to learn a new language, and we're going to be, I'll be working with children and young people, and Dave will be teaching pastors who live in the jungle, the Amazon jungle, basic theology. BMS World Mission has set up a Bible school there. This is a friend of ours who's joined us for the day. She's not coming to Peru. But we're all going as a family because we feel called into overseas mission. And thank you for your support. Yeah.
So, Jonathan, do you want to tell us who's who here? Who are you?
Jonathan.
And how old are you?
Six.
Six. And then you tell us, who else have you got here?
Ruth and Phoebe.
Ruth? Is this Ruth? And how old is Ruth?
Three.
She's three. And how old is Phoebe?
One.
Okay, yeah. So you're the boss.
No.
They tell you what to do, do they? Okay. So we have said that we would like to be partnered with this family, the Mahon family, as they go out. So we want you just to remember their faces will be put up on our screens from time to time. We will be praying for them each month when we meet for the missionary prayer meeting. So come and join us. And what we've said to these guys is that any prayer requests that they have, they can communicate that with us via email, Skype, whatever electronic method, and we will be praying for them.
Thank you.
So it's really good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And happy Easter to each and every one of you.
Thanks, Georgia.
It'd be so good to pray for them, wouldn't it? Just to do that. Maybe I could do that. I'm not part of this church, but I love the fact that you guys are going to the other side of the world. Isn't it amazing on Easter Day to celebrate that there are people willing to give their lives to spreading the good news of Jesus and sharing that with pastors and working with children and young people? So it'd be great, actually. Could we pray for you? Is that all right? I know they've gone now, but we'll pray for...
By proxy.
Yeah, that's good. By proxy, indeed. Should we do that? Can I pray on your behalf? So if you want to reach out your hand, if you're comfortable doing that as a sign that we want to bless, we intend to do this, that we're in this together. So Father, thank you for this lovely family, just stirring God to hear their story and to know that you've called them and they're responding with obedience to that call. And we pray that in all the weeks as they prepare, now they've finished their training to go to Peru, and as they really get into that language study, and as they prepare themselves for entering into that different culture, we pray you will give them everything they need. And you will give them supernatural ability to learn that language quickly and to do that brilliantly. And we pray that you will bless them in as they prepare their hearts for serving. And as they go together, we pray that this family unit will be kept safe and that you will bless their life together, that those children will grow up, God, knowing you and loving you with all their hearts. And we pray you will use them, use their gifts, use our brother to communicate well to pastors, to inspire them and teach them brilliantly, God. So we thank you for this family, God. We're encouraged today, and we pray your blessing on them. Pray that you will really inspire them and help them and meet all their needs, God. May they go with a sense of confidence in you and at every interval, God, in that journey, that you will be their faithful provider. Father God, thank you for your promises, and we speak life over this family and prosperity and fruitfulness in their ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you. What a great family. Is that amazing? Love it. So, we'll just get into this story just for a minute. I just want to say a few things to you about this story that we've read, and then we're going to sing some more. It's one of my favorites, I have to admit. Okay, so this gets me every time. The story of these two. And I think it's got something to say to all of us wherever we are on the journey, because life is a journey. And these guys were on a journey. And they were walking away from where the action was. I think that's significant, because their hearts are desperately disappointed and they feel as though their hopes have just been dashed and things are never going to be the same again. You notice what it says, that actually their faces were etched with sadness. There was a heaviness and a sadness and a grief that absolutely enveloped them. And as they walked, they were taking this with them. Somebody says, you know, it's true that the hardest walk is the one away from the grave of someone you really love. And some of us, I'm sure, in this room will have experienced the pain and the loss of leaving a graveside and walking away. And that's what they'd done. They'd literally buried Jesus and left him, and they thought that was it, that it was all over. Walking away from their friends in this state of hopelessness. And they'd even though they'd heard the story of the angels had said he's alive, it hadn't stopped them from walking away. They didn't want to hang around in the place with so many bad memories. And you can understand that, can't you? Humanly speaking. And I think when I was preparing this, I thought that there are some people going to be in this room today who are stuck in an event in the past. Emotionally, and perhaps in your head even, you're tied to something that's happened and you can't let go of it because it's so painful. It's so hard that actually you're still there. And these men, these two were crushed by disappointment. Let's get back to that. Some of these pictures, if you would. Thank you, Rachel. Just to see, there we are. Here's us walking along the road. And I love the fact that some of the way the artists actually paint this scene, if you notice, is all different, isn't it? But they're walking along because even though their heart is somewhere else, they've nowhere else to go. I mean, you would go home, I suppose. It's a comfort thing. Maybe it's just getting away because it's too hard to deal with. I could sum up my little talk this morning in this sentence. It's amazing what can happen when you stop to ask, search to find, and you're open to sharing. I'll say that again. It's amazing what can happen when you stop to ask, search to find, and you're open to sharing. Jesus joins them on as they walk along, and they don't recognize him. I think it's a supernatural bit of a thing going on there, because I think they would have known him. Cleopas, we got the name of one of them. I think it's a couple personally, but people argue about who it is. But Cleopas was married to Mary, and I think the other one's Mary, his wife. And Cleopas was Jesus' uncle. His son was called Simon, and it's Jesus, one of Jesus' cousins. I won't tell you how you work that out, but it's true, okay? I'm not making this up. He was the brother of Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, okay? So Cleopas is well in the family. He knows Jesus, right? So it's inconceivable, I think, that they wouldn't have recognized who it was, were it not for the fact that God deliberately put a veil over their eyes, because something else is going on here, and we're going to find out what that is. So he comes along, right, and walks with them. I like the way that this one does it, this artist, because he imagines Jesus is actually kind of invisible, you know, like there, but you can't actually see him. So in a way, they couldn't see who it was, this stranger, just this presence walking with them down the road. And he asked them a question. Now, I don't know if you ever realize this, but Jesus was really good at asking questions. He asked over 160 different questions recorded in the four Gospels for us. So it was one of his best ways of coming alongside people. Because when you ask a question, well, it puts people at ease, doesn't it? You're in the place of wanting to know something, wanting people to open up and share. And that's what Jesus was really good at. He didn't come to lecture people and put them in their place. He came to walk alongside them. And he asked them, what are you so sad about? What's wrong? And then he says, what things? And so he doesn't know. Because he knows, but he wants them to tell him. Can I just say this to us? I don't know where you are today, but I think for some of us, we're kind of stuck and we're disappointed. Maybe you're disappointed with God. Maybe feeling hopeless today because you really hoped, like they did, that something good would happen and it didn't. And you're trying to make sense of it. And you think, well, why? But Jesus says, well, tell me about it. What's wrong? I found it really, really helpful to tell Jesus what's going on inside me. And I would definitely recommend it to you. Now, Jesus has a plan. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't want them to walk away either. He's going to actually send them back again, eventually, back to where they come from, which is really good. But he wants them to experience something really good. It's amazing what can happen when you stop to ask. Because the question just stopped them in their tracks, literally stopped them dead in their journey. And they said, what? Where have you been? But they asked him. And he invited a response from them. And they told him, we were so hoping it was him. Maybe you're crushed by a disappointment today. Well, I've got a really good solution. I want to suggest to you, it's a good idea to ask Jesus. Stop to ask the questions and listen to what he says. And then the other thing is to search to find. It's amazing what can happen when you stop to ask and search to find. Because he begins at Moses and he talks to them about how this all had to happen, about how he had to come back to life and so on. So here's Jesus, different pictures, here we go. That's interesting. Kind of like the artist has just put the outline around people, and this is this mysterious figure here. And there they are on the journey. Now, he starts, right, at Moses, and he has a two-hour Bible study with them as they walk along the road, because he starts at the scriptures, and he's explained to them why this had to happen. Why Jesus had to suffer and die. I don't know where he started. Maybe he started with Abraham. Because Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He starts at Moses. So he must have gone right to the beginning of the Bible. And here's a story where Abraham actually is going to put his son on an altar, a sacrifice, and kill him. His only son, and God promised that he would have a nation, and here's the answer, and he's going to give him up and sacrifice him because he feels that's what God wants him to do. God stops him and says, there's a ram, there's another creature going to take Isaac's place. Wonder what that was about. Well, we understand now as you look back through scripture that actually that was a sign. It was God showing us, pointing the way that one day somebody would come and take our place and die in our stead. Or maybe he started with the story of Joseph. Joseph's an amazing story. It's full of lots of pictures of Jesus. He himself was rejected by his brothers, betrayed, sold, eventually died to them. And then he comes back to life. And he becomes the ruler of all Egypt, and he gets exalted and blessed and amazing. It's just so many likenesses to the story of Joseph with that of Jesus. Wow. Maybe he started there. I don't know. Maybe he told the story of the Exodus and the Passover when they put blood on the doorposts and the lintels and the angel of death came over the land. You remember that story? It's in the book of Exodus. Moses wrote that story too. And he was there, of course, as the leader of the people and the angel of death. And wherever he saw the blood, he hovered over, and nothing bad would come to that family. These amazing stories in the Bible. And they're all pointing way ahead of time to Jesus. Because Jesus is our Lamb. And at Passover, it was at Passover he died in answer to all that wonderful type that God had shown us before. Oh, here's the story of the snake on the pole. And when if people were bitten by these snakes, and then if they looked to the snake on the pole was made of bronze, they would be healed. And Jesus himself said, as Moses lifted up the snake and the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up. The Bible's full of lots of stories about Jesus. Wow. I don't know where. Maybe it was the Day of Atonement when they sent a goat. They kill one goat and like he died for their sins. And then they sent another goat off into the wilderness carrying their sins that they transferred to that goat with him. So they went off. Wow, what a picture of how Jesus died and then was buried. That's exactly what that story's about, you see? So Jesus is unpacking with these guys from the very first moment in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know what they said about that? As they talked about afterwards, they said, our heart burned within us. Can I encourage you to do something? Maybe this is new to you today. Maybe you've never thought about the Old Testament part of the Bible being anything but lists of names and things. But actually, I want to encourage you. It's amazing what will happen when you stop to ask and search to find. Because this book is full of types and shadows and pictures and prophecies about Jesus, promises about him. And when you start searching it, you get the experience of your heart literally burning inside you. When was the last time, can I ask you, that your heart burned inside you? Well, maybe it's a good idea for some of us to get back to the Bible again and start reading it and seeking it with God's help and asking, show me Jesus, make my heart burn. They loved it. Do you know, there are so many prophecies in the Bible about Jesus. There are over 40 different specific prophecies were made hundreds of years before. Why do I believe the story of Easter? Because years and years before, like for centuries, prophets came along with messages from God and they said, this is going to happen. Where would we be born? Who would his parents be? What would happen to him? How he would be betrayed? How he would die? How he would be buried in a rich man's grave? And so on and so on. Loads of different, very specific things. And guess what? Every single one of them came true. I am convinced today about the meaning and the truth of this story. It's not just a made-up story that happened. It was planned and purposed by God and carried out with absolute precision. Amazing. I'd love to have listened to their conversation. Their pulses got faster as they walked along and their hearts burned. Love it. Search to find. The scriptures are full of Jesus. Amazing what can happen when you stop to ask, search to find, and you're open to sharing. They arrived at their home. Let's just look at the story. Now there's some great pictures about this particular meal that they had. So Jesus makes as though he's going to walk on. And they say, no, stop. Stay with us. Come and stay the night. I love the fact that these two guys, whoever they may be, they're man and wife, they open their home to Jesus. A stranger. They didn't know it was Jesus at this moment. But they open their home. They're loving his presence. And they open their home to him and their hearts to him. And they sit around a table and they share a food meal together. And as he takes the bread, he blesses it and he gives it to them. And in that moment, they know who it is. And they recognize him. He makes as though we would go further. He's waiting for an invitation. Can I encourage you, my friend today, whoever you are, Jesus is waiting for an invitation. He wants to walk with you, go with you, but he won't force himself on you. He opens their hearts and minds, and they knew who it is. Now, this is a very famous painting. There's a man called Caravaggio, And he had a couple of goes at painting this story. He loved the story too. This is one of them. And there are different people. There's more than obviously just two people around the table. There's Jesus there. And presumably these are the two. He's got two guys. And maybe these are the staff, that he, maybe the cook, that people helped. And this is this moment. You can almost see he's clutching the table. And this is the moment of revelation. Yeah, this is the moment when they think, his hand's going up. They knew who it was. This is an even more famous picture. It's the National Gallery in London, called the Supper at Emmaus. And here he is. This is really dramatic. This is again the moment. These are kind of, his clothes are torn. They're quite ordinary folk. So we're meant to identify with the fact that these are just ordinary people. And they're one of us, and they're sharing this meal with Jesus. And he got into a lot of bother because Jesus looks very girl-like, no beard. First time anybody had painted Jesus without a beard, as far as I know. And he got into a lot of grief over that. But here he is, maybe the cook at the back there. And again, he's got two guys in the story. Even the bowl of fruit looks as though it's just about to fall off the edge in suspense, you know, in surprise at what's going to happen. And, you know, you've got lots of symbolic things there. You've got water and you've got the fish there. You see the fish, the tail. And you've got obviously the bread and the drink and other things. And this is the moment when they realize this is him. I love that picture. That's wonderful. See, when they opened their hearts and their homes, they got a revelation. Are you willing to share what you have with strangers? Because in that moment, it's amazing what can happen, who you could meet, what encounters you could have. So they go back at the same hour, and they run all the way back to Jerusalem, and they come in and they tell the others. And as they're telling the story, they get double dose. Jesus appears in the midst of them. And he says, it's me. I'm not a ghost. And he eats in front of them. Do you know, some of these people would die as martyrs for their faith. Another reason why this story's got to be true. I would never die for something I believe to be false. Would you? Would you ever give your life up for something that you thought was just a made-up story? Of course not. Some of these very people were going to give their lives for something they knew was real because they'd seen Jesus. You can bank your life on this. Your eternity. It's amazing what can happen when you stop to ask, search to find, and are open to share. I want you to know that Jesus would love to walk along the journey with you like he did with these guys. But he won't force himself on you. But he does ask you some questions, and it would be a pretty good idea to tell him what you know and what you feel and invite him to join you. Because on the way, if you're willing to stop to ask and search to find, and are open to sharing, you too can have an encounter that will deal with your disappointments and heal your heart. You see, Jesus knows that he's not going to be along with them. And in just a few short days, he's going to be gone. He's ascending back to his Father. He's never going to be seen in physical form on earth again. And he's going, so he knows, so he's preparing them. I love the fact that he doesn't let them find out who he is, because he wants them to have the experience of feeling something in their hearts and of connecting with Scripture, because one of the things that's going to help them as the church grows into the future and as Christians spread and tell others and others become Christians, is they're going to need to know this book. They're going to need to know that God's word is true and reliable. So he introduces them again to the Scriptures. He doesn't say to them, you foolish people, you're so slow to believe the angels. You're so slow to believe the apostles. No, he doesn't. He says, you're so slow to believe the prophets because they wrote it down. So I want to encourage you. I want to say, this church, I want you to be a Bible-believing church, a Bible-knowing church, people who know this book and who invest their time and attention in it, because Jesus wants you to have an experience of your heart burning as he opens the scriptures to you. I hope you're excited about doing that. Maybe you should set up and start reading some of these Old Testament stories like I've been doing in the last few years and absolutely loving it. I want you to know that whatever you're carrying today, whatever disappointment, he is able to turn your disappointment into joy, your despair into hope again, your grief into happiness. He's able to do it because he's won. He has a secret to your heart today. So let's just pause. And as we wrap up and as we sing some more songs together, I think there may be some people here today and you've come along, we're delighted you're here. Maybe today, for you, you want to know this Jesus and you want to receive this gift of eternal life that he paid for. It's free. It's offered today. I'd love to help you do that. I had the joy this week of just leading a young man to Jesus. He came up to me and he said, I want to know Jesus. I want to be his friend. So that could be you today. Or for some of us, you've got burdens and grief and disappointment locked into something that happened in the past and you've never been able to move on. We had hoped. That's your language. Hope's gone. It's been buried. Well, you need to know today, there is no situation that you're facing that God is hopeless about. Your hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem itself. That's the reality. And Jesus wants to change your mind and help you to get your heart around his hope and his answer and his solution today. Because it's real and he's good and he's for you. So maybe that's for you today. And you can respond. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word, for this story, for Easter, for the victory of Jesus. And we pray together that you will absolutely bless your word to every one of us and help us to live in the good of it for many days to come. And may hearts be healed here today. May people's direction be refocused. And may the lies that they're believing be swapped with truth and freedom. And we pray, God, that you will absolutely bless this church and grow the witness of this church and this community, that everyone in the streets and the homes around here will know that Jesus is alive. He's real. He's good. Salvation works. Thank you, God. Ask your blessing on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let's respond with confidence and joy about our hope, the hope we have today because Jesus is alive. And let's sing together a couple of songs to finish. We're going to take our offering during our last song together. Let's sing Cornerstone, shall we? Is that good? And celebrate the hope we have because of Jesus. If you're a visitor today, don't feel you have to give money, but this is for church members and people who normally come here to Sycophant Baptist Church. We're going to give into God's work around the world, work like the work in Peru and other events and missionaries and ministries that you support. So let's do that together as an act of worship to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hope we have. Thank you for the blessings of our life. Thank you that you daily load so many things on us, put into our lap everything we need. Thank you, God. Thank you for homes and cars and food on the table, bed to sleep in, roof over our heads. Thank you, God. And we give back to you with our love these gifts today. I ask that you will advance your work, the work of your kingdom, through this money. Multiply it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Please sit down. We're almost done. I just want to take the opportunity of thanking you again for your welcome today. And I'm, even though I'm not going to be CEO of Cribs for very long, finish in August. I know I'm going to see you again. So that's awesome. So I'm looking forward to your weekend away in September. And can I just make one plug? Because it's been 26 years since I started going into schools back in 1991, which is amazing looking back. And I wanted, before I left, to tell the story of what God's done with me and with all my colleagues and friends that have worked with me over the years and what God is doing. Tell that story and give him all the glory for that. It's a great story. It's a story of some really hard times, some really challenging experiences, and some great moments. So it's got the roller coaster of life in it, as you will know, because you live life like me. So I'm actually coming on the 22nd of June, which is a Thursday night, I believe, to here, to Sidcup Baptist Church. And I'd love you to be there. I'd love to pack this place, actually. Got lots of friends coming with me, some oldies from the past. It's going to be an evening of worship and testimony and story. And I'm going to talk about what I'm going to do in the future.